There's a quote I really like. It's one I've shared with you all before, and I'll probably share with you again. And the quote is, "The shortest distance between two people is a story." So as we look at this passage about prayer, and particularly about praying together with other people, I've got some stories of prayer that I hope speak to your heart as we reflect on how these words written almost 2,000 years ago can continue to offer us guidance for how we pray together today. Before we begin, I ask you to join me in a spirit of prayer. Loving God, guide our thoughts and words today. You are the potter, we are your clay. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. If you're suffering, pray with others. If there's something good, pray in thanks, prayers of thanks and joy and celebration. That's how our verses started for today, and it made me think of a couple of stories from my life. One that I was told, one that I lived. First, the story that I was told. When I was in seminary, I spent a summer doing something called clinical pastoral education. Basically, I was an intern chaplain at a hospital, and I worked at the hospital that summer, and then we also had one of the head chaplains instructing us and providing us some coursework on ways to reach out to people and offer them hope in Jesus' name. Now, I don't remember what brought on this story, but one day, our head chaplain, Molly, shared a story from her own life. She had been a Peace Corps volunteer in the Caribbean before she went to seminary. As I recall, it was in the nation of Haiti. And she had worked with a family while she was there, and she had gotten close with that family. And then one morning, the news came through the village where they lived. Something tragic had happened. The infant in that family had died in the night. Molly didn't know what to say, didn't know what to do, but she knew she wanted to be there with this family that she'd come to know and love. And so she hurried over to the house where they were. And she said as she approached the house, she heard the sound of wailing. And I thought that was interesting. She used the word wailing, not crying, wailing. Because they were crying out to God in their grief. And the whole family and the loved ones of this family who had suffered this tragedy were crying out to God in their grief. Now, Molly often said she was a pretty straight-laced person. She'd been raised an army brat. Her words, not mine. She knew how to be pretty proper and knew how to be pretty reserved. And she hadn't wailed at least since the age of 5. But she said she learned something that day. Sometimes when we love people and we need to try to be there for them, that the prayer will take the form of a wail to God. As we ask for God's mercy, as we ask for God's love, as we know that even in something as tragic as a parent losing their child, God knows what that feels like. Because God experienced it when God's child was taken away with the death of Jesus Christ, and God continues to experience the pain of losing a child every time something sad and bad happens to one of God's children today. But if we are suffering, we should pray, and we should pray together, and sometimes we have to take a few of the layers of varnish off and just be real with God. But by the same token, when something good happens, we should sing songs of praise. So a story from my own life. Actually, a story from Abiella's life. Sorry, honey. She's a preacher's kid, too. So not long after Abiella was born, I got a call from the district superintendent. Now, for those of you who may not be familiar with the Methodist way of things, the district superintendent's basically kind of my boss. They oversee the churches for whatever part of the world that I'm being a minister in. And it's always a little scary when the district superintendent calls you unexpected because it means you might need to move, or it might mean someone is angry at you, but they've talked to the district superintendent and not you about it. So when I got this call unexpectedly in the middle of winter, I think it was early in 2011, right after Abiella had been born in late 2010, I was a little uncertain. The district superintendent said, "I'd like to come out and visit you and Megan and Abiella." So we said, "Okay." So as I recall, a couple days later, she drove from her office in Champaign, the 20, 25 minutes to the house where we lived out in the town of Mahomet. And she just sat with us and talked with us and wanted to know how we were doing. And then at the end of her time together, of our time together, she took Abiella as a little baby in her arms. I'm pretty sure Abiella was asleep at the time, because that's what little babies do a lot. And Insook took her into her arms and prayed a prayer of blessing over our daughter, and a prayer of blessing over her parents, who really didn't know what they were getting into at that time. Babies don't come with instructions. But what a joy to celebrate something. So often we think about praying with someone, it's only when something bad has happened, but what a joy to say a prayer of blessing and thanks when there are those good things in life. The point of all this is that we need to pray. Prayer is probably the most important way that most people communicate with God, and we need to pray on our own. I strongly encourage all of you to be in prayer and to spend some time praying to God every day. And remember, prayer is not just saying, God, I need this and this and this. Prayer is also sometimes listening to see how God is guiding us and where God is directing us. But prayer is kind of like scripture reading that we talked about a little bit last week. Prayer is something we don't just do on our own. Prayer is something that when we do it as a group of people, when we raise up each other's concerns, or when we celebrate with each other in prayer, we bless each other. We remind each other of the love that God has for us. Prayer is not just a solo activity. When we pray together, amazing things can happen. Now, I prayed for people my whole life, but I didn't understand the power of what it meant to be prayed for until something happened in my life. The summer of 2005, they found a tumor in my body, and I needed to get surgery to remove it. I did not understand how powerful and meaningful it is when you're lying there scared in the hospital bed about to go into surgery for someone to come and show up and pray with you. I remember my parents' pastor coming into the room and praying with me and mom and dad. And I got all these cards and letters and emails with people praying for me, some of whom I didn't even know very well. But they said, Jeremiah, we heard about this. We are praying for you. I felt the love of God through the actions of others. Prayer can be a powerful way to help us feel God's love. Now, after that had happened, I returned to seminary the next school year. And I was a student pastor at a church in Boston, and that church had a prayer service every Wednesday night. So I would leave about 3:30 from my apartment. I would head over to church to meet with a senior pastor and to get ready for the prayer service every Wednesday night. And the senior pastor gave me a job after a few weeks. He said, we had a lady who just had some hip surgery, and she's in the middle of a long and unfortunately pretty painful recovery. So Jeremiah, I want you to call her on the phone and pray with her every week. I said, okay. I was the student pastor. You do what you're told, right? So in the back of that 140-year-old sanctuary, I would get out my cell phone and I would call her and I would pray with her over the phone, and I thought, well, I hope this is meaningful to her. Within a couple of weeks, she would say, oh, pastor, is it time for my prayer again? I was amazed that God could use me, not knowing what the heck I was doing, sitting in the back of an old sanctuary, calling someone on a cell phone, but it seemed to offer her some hope and some joy. And that's what happens when we pray for people. Even if we don't feel that we're up to praying for someone, God can use us to offer them some love and some hope. And I bet a few of you out there have had that experience as well at some point in your life. And if you continue to read these few verses that Elisa read, it also talks about prayers of confession. Now, maybe we're willing to say to someone, can you please pray for me? I'm going in for surgery. But how easy or how hard is it maybe for us to admit sometimes, God, I need someone to pray for me because I messed up. We don't often like to confess our sins. We don't often like to confess our mistakes. We often carry around guilt within us, guilt that can eat us alive, that literally will raise your blood pressure and eat an ulcer through your stomach if you carry it around too long. And so James said to those ancient Christians and says to all Christians today, sometimes we need to pray together and confess our sins. Sometimes it's not even confessing our sins. Sometimes we just need to confess that we're struggling. I know in my life I've had a really hard time committing to people. You know what? I sometimes have had to deal with anxiety and depression. There are times in my life that I've seen a counselor because of that. We try to hide things. Sometimes we almost feel shame that we're not perfect, that we have any struggles in our lives. But James reminds us that it is important and powerful for us to honestly, with people we can trust, confess where we really are. To say, I really messed up. I need to ask God's forgiveness to something. Now, it might be that after we confess, we're also going to have to start making amends, and that may have a cost to us. But there is something powerful about us being real with each other. There are times in life you may have an embarrassing illness, or at least you find it embarrassing. You don't want to admit that you need help and that you want people to pray for you. There are times in your life when your dream might die, when something you thought was going to happen just doesn't, and you need someone to pray with you. There are times, even when something good has happened, that we need people to pray for us. Ask any parent who's ever had a colicky baby if they're happy that they're a parent, but they also have to deal with something that is stressful and difficult, and they could use someone to pray for them. How often do the people of God need to pray with each other when their business fails? Or for those of you who are in school, if you don't do so well in your spelling test at the end of the week, or if you flunk a test in high school, or if you don't get that SAT score you were hoping for if you were in high school. Whatever it is, Christ says, let us get together and pray about it, whether it's good, bad, or somewhere in between. And finally, I ask you to consider praying for people when they're in the time of transition. Sometimes transition is a nice way of saying, okay, something didn't go well. But sometimes transition is just that, it's transition. Again, in 2006, because that was a really big year in my life, I was asked in November of that year to go down to Jacksonville, Florida. There was a big conference for people who were considering calls to ministry in the United Methodist Church, and they asked a bunch of seminary students to fly down and to be small group leaders for this big conference that was going on. And my role as a small group leader was to meet with a bunch of junior and seniors in high school who had felt that maybe God was calling them into ministry. And so throughout the conference, after the worship services and other things, I would meet with them and we would talk about their journey of faith. And we spent about 3 days together. Now, the last thing on my to-do list leading these small groups was to have each person sit down and have everyone else in the group pray over them, to lay hands on them, put hands on their shoulders, put hands on their forearms or their heads, and just to ask God to be with these young people as they explored what God might really be calling them to do with their lives. So as I recall, I think I had 6 students in my group, and we did that. And I said, well, it's been good to be with you. I asked God's blessing for you. And one of the students said, oh, but Jeremiah, we're not done yet. And I think he literally took me by the arm and sat me down in the chair where everyone else had been sitting. And he said, you need to be prayed over too, because you're actually going to become a minister, and fairly soon, and you're going to need all the help you can get. And boy, was he right. Because we ministers, we need all the help we can get, and then some. And it was meaningful for me, for this group of 16 and 17 and 18-year-olds, to put their hands on my shoulder. I was about 25, 26 at the time, and to pray for me. Because I was about to enter a big time of transition, and I didn't know it, but within 6 months I was also going to be engaged. So I had more transitions coming up than I realized at the time. The point is, we should pray with each other. We should cry out to God with each other. We should celebrate and sing songs of praise to God with each other. We should pray with each other when we have things to confess. We should pray with each other when we're going to need direction as we enter the next stage in our life. As it says in the last thing that Elisa read, the last verse, James 5, 16b, and what I mean by B is it's 2 sentences, so this is the second sentence in James chapter 5, verse 16. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. Now, I promise you that when you pray with someone that everything's going to end up exactly the way you hoped. Sometimes that doesn't happen, but I can promise you if we pray together, God will be with us. God will not abandon us, and when we pray together, we can help each other feel the love of God in our lives no matter what is going on. God will be with us. Prayer means something. So I ask you, people of God, whether this is your home church or whether some of you will be traveling and going far away to your homes, is anyone praying with you, and are you praying with anyone else? I invite you to pray with someone. and see how God will use you to bless them, and see how God will use them to bless you. And in this time of prayer together, may we all grow closer to God, who we know through Jesus Christ, our Savior and our hope, in whose name we pray. Amen.